Well, the Dodgers did it again. The biggest question that I have to ask is, how did they do it? Troy, I don't think you expected to go to bed last night and to wake up and to hear some news of this type of magnitude dropping right before Thanksgiving. Right. Yesterday's show, I said, I don't think we're going to have time to breathe. I did not mean that the Los Angeles Dodgers were going to go out and sign one of the top pitchers. You could even make the argument of the top pitcher on the market after winning the World Series. Hello, everyone. Welcome to First Pitch, your daily recap for all news, notes, and everything MLB. Anything under the sun. And apparently, we were talking about, you know, we're having crystal ball predictions as well, because we did say that something was going to happen. You didn't have time to breathe. And guess what? I'm pretty sure we're strangled right now. There is no time to even sleep, Troy. Troy, you figured this out last night. If I could have got a hold of you, we would have went live last night. That's how important this was. But either way, we are here this morning talking about Blake Snell signing a huge deal with the defending World Series champions, like they needed the help going to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Before we really dive into it, just what's your overall reaction about seeing Blake Snell now in Dodger blue?
Yeah, when I first woke up this morning at about 6 a.m. Central, I saw hundreds and hundreds of notifications on my phone from Discord messages from you and text messages from some of my friends that are baseball fans, and then a bunch of Twitter notifications, The Athletic, with some of the articles. Just it was crazy. I did not expect Blake Snell to go to L.A., and I did not expect it to be this soon in the off season. And that was my initial, it was just initially just surprise for everything surrounding it.
I guess it's not too surprising when you think of where Blake Snell was last season, right? He was one of the last players to sign. He was part of that whole Scott Boras debacle where he signed into the season. He had a really tough time. He had to go into the minor leagues. He dealt with some injuries as well. And he had a really tough first half. And that's something we've talked about Blake Snell for quite some time now. I feel like we've talked about how he's a second half pitcher. Maybe him signing so early can change that. Him having a nice landing spot, obviously, with Los Angeles is a great spot. You do not have to be the number one. When we look at this rotation just a minute, you can make the argument that Blake Snell, a two-time Cy Young winning pitcher, Troy, is going to be third or fourth in this rotation. Absolutely insane. We're gonna get to that in just a minute, but first, overall, his contract, 5 years, $182 million. That's going to be about an AAV of 36.4. Joe Doyle from Minor League Baseball MLB.com put out a really interesting tweet last night. He said the Los Angeles Dodgers starting rotation AAV is roughly $140 million right now. That is more money than 13 teams spent on their whole 40-man payroll in 2024. Wow. Put that into perspective. We're talking about 13 teams, almost half the leagues, their entire 40-man roster, not just the active roster, was less money than just the starting rotation. That means five pitchers of the Los Angeles Dodgers. You can't say that that's one of the reasons why they won the World Series. Obviously, spending money is a huge thing. We can ask the Los Angeles Dodgers from last year. We can ask Texas Rangers from the year before. But regardless of how you look at that situation, the Los Angeles Dodgers have made that team, that organization, a premier landing spot for free agents. And once again, they prove it with landing Blake Snell.
Yeah, it's crazy. And a little bit of Snell's deal per The Athletic, a little bit of it is deferred. It's not exactly certain. It hadn't come out yet how much of it is deferred. But they also gave him a $52 million signing bonus to kind of counteract some of the deferred money and give him a little bit more upfront. But it's crazy what they've done. And I'd like to counteract a little bit of this with, this is kind of the same thing they've done the past few years with bringing in pitchers that aren't guaranteed to start a whole season. Blake Snell has only started a whole season twice in his career. And now both times he did it, he won the Cy Young, once in the American League and once in the National League. So that's pretty good percentage there. But he's played 9 seasons in Major League Baseball. He started 25 or more games 3 times in those 9 seasons. Of course, that does also include 2020, when he did start 11 games. And he's only qualified for the ERA title twice in his career. The first one was 180 and 2/3 innings in 2018 when he won the American League Cy Young. And then 2023, 180 innings even with the Padres. And it's kind of what they've been doing with Tyler Glass now. Yamamoto was hurt most of last year, and you cannot expect him to be a full-time 162-plus inning pitcher until he's used to the major league workload. Shohei Ohtani, as a pitcher, has barely pitched in the major leagues, and Clayton Kershaw is always hurt. And I have a trivia question for you here, Christian, since we're talking about the Dodgers and their pitching. Do you know who led the Los Angeles Dodgers in innings pitched in 2024?
Oh, man. I mean, it's probably just a random player since you're asking a trivia question. But I'll go out on a limb here and say, Was it Glasnow? It wasn't Glasnow.
It was not Glasnow. He did have a career high in innings pitched, though, with his 134 innings pitched. The answer is Gavin Stone. Gavin Stone led the Los Angeles Dodgers in innings pitched last year. That is how decimated their rotation is. And yes, Blake Snell is good when he's healthy, but therein lies the issue. It's when he's healthy and when he's on the mound, just like the majority of the rest of their rotation.
Yeah, and you're not even going to probably see Gavin Stone as a potential even number 5 in your rotation this year. According, you know, there's a couple graphics that came out and it's changed back and forth, but I'm going to go off FanGraphs and just FanGraphs' current roster and how they predicted. I really like their layout, so we'll go with them. But they're predicting Blake Snell, Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani, Tony Gonsolin, and Dustin May in a 6-man rotation. And the reason that I picked 6 to talk about in this one is because you added Blake Snell, there is a spot right now where you do not have to push back Shohei Ohtani. You don't have to push him back to get ready to go in 2025, at least right away. He doesn't have to pitch on opening day or an opening weekend or however you want to call it. He does not have to. And with the way that this rotation is set, if they stay healthy, something that was a problem last year, let's obviously keep that in mind. It was a huge problem. But if they stay healthy, Shohei Ohtani might not throw a single pitch next year. And I would not be surprised if that doesn't happen. If we see Shohei Ohtani not pitch next year, the way that he played in 2024, we're talking a 50-50 season, folks. Maybe we don't see him pitch again. Maybe we don't for a little bit because of this rotation, how it looks. As it stands, the Dodgers will have Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow, and Snell heading their rotation if they do have Ohtani. But they still have Gonsolin. They still have May. They still have Landon Knack, Bobby Miller. And then you have to assume that Clayton Kershaw is going to come back. He's still expected to sign or re-sign at some point this season, serving as some sort of depth. Kind of calls that says Walker Buehler is probably done with the Dodgers. I think that's safe to say. There's no doubt about that. I mean, is there doubt? We're talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers now. He could be back. Who knows? I mean, the way that this management team, this front office has been handling money, and things like that. I saw a really funny tweet last night saying that if Juan Soto signs with the Los Angeles Dodgers, then we're going to have to call the National Guard on the Dodgers. What they're doing has to be illegal. And I thought that was just absolutely hilarious. And we're going to talk about if the possibility of Juan Soto to LA is still a possibility in a second. But we got to keep talking about Snell here because it's just such an interesting thing. This is going to be his third team in the NL West. He's with the Padres. He's with the Giants. Now he's with the Dodgers, Troy. What does this do? This obviously, we just saw this team win a World Series. None of their core players are leaving in free agency. Walker Buehler obviously had a huge part of winning the World Series for the Dodgers, closing that game. He had a great postseason, especially in the second half of the postseason. But if he's the only big piece moving on, they're in a really good spot. Adding a guy like a two-time Cy Young winner in Blake Snell, even if you only get second half Blake Snell in the second half of the season, that's exactly when you need it. This is a team that scores runs. They don't need to always have a Cy Young Blake Snell on the mound. We saw that with what they put out the second half of their rotation. Does this continue to make the Dodgers the World Series favorite heading into 2025?
Oh, absolutely. They've got to be one of them, especially if they are able to bring in. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I don't think they're bringing in Juan Soto, because I don't think Juan Soto wants to play on the West Coast. But especially if they bring back Teoscar Hernandez, or even bring in Anthony Santander to man the outfield, then absolutely they're the favorite to win the World Series. And plus, if any of their aces in their rotation can stay healthy for a full season, all of them are more than capable of winning the National League Cy Young. So it's right now it's the Dodgers and everybody else in Major League Baseball.
A little bit of cleanup here. We report earlier that we didn't know about the money for deferred. Bob Nightingale put out earlier today that the money for deferred is $62 million deferred in Blake Snell's $182 million contract. He does not have a no trade clause, but will be paid $5 million if traded. And he put that in a tweet late last night. So interesting. We'll see what happens there. We'll see it moving forward. But regardless, this rotation is absolutely nasty. Yesterday, I said there's a potential that the Phillies have the best rotation in baseball. That is no more. That is not the case. The Los Angeles Dodgers, if they remain healthy, and it's hard to forget, it's hard to forget about the Dodgers because they were not healthy. Really, for the majority of all last season, they still found a way to get to the World Series and win. But if this rotation stays healthy, this might be the greatest rotation in the history of baseball. I'm not afraid to say that. That's how good this rotation looks. You're talking about a two-time Cy Young winner as the potential third starter in your rotation. That's absolutely insane. One of the most underrated storylines in this is that after 5 years of being away from each other, you're getting Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell back together. American League champions, won the World Series went to the World Series 5 years ago for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, the whole Kevin Cash scenario with Blake Snell, all that good stuff. Who can forget, right? But Glasnow and Snell will be back in a rotation together 5 years later. So pretty interesting there, Troy. Anything else on Blake Snell before we move on? We still got lots to talk about today.
No, I didn't see that Bob Nightingale tweet beforehand, and I'm really not happy about that, but we can move on. That's a lot of deferred money, man. They got to do something about that.
Lots of deferral money. Yeah. You've seen the graphic out there of not showing the Dodgers, but in the Dodgers text that says deferrals. I think that's absolutely hilarious. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people out there, and I'm sure Padre fans are going to probably lead the charge about how deferrals are ruining baseball. And I think you can obviously make an argument for it if you're seeing what the Dodgers are doing. But right now, I'm happy that the Dodgers in the front office are spending money, because that's the most important thing. I think that they need to spend money. Players need to spend, or owners need to spend money on their players. And if it's all one organization right now, well, they're obviously going to find a way to win. And that's what happened last year. So if you want to win, spend money. That's what happened 20 years ago when we loved baseball. Everybody talks about we need to go back to 20 years ago. Well, if you look back 20 years ago, what was the Yankees doing? What was everybody saying the Yankees were doing? Spending all the money, right? We're in the same boat right now. Now you just get different rules. But if you need to get back and you want to get back to winning ways, it's not the only way. We saw the Cleveland Guardians make the ALCS. But obviously, money wins championships. We've seen it over the last two seasons. Speaking of things that we know, Troy, we know two things. One, we know that there is no film in this camera. And two, we know that the Los Angeles Dodgers are not sold, at least they're not out on Juan Soto. Okay, even though they just spent $150+ million on Blake Snell, just because that happened and just what we just mentioned, they're willing to spend money, doesn't mean that Juan Soto is out of the picture. Now, I don't think it's likely, just like you just mentioned a minute ago, I don't think it's likely. But I don't think we can absolutely close the book, put it on the shelf, and say, sorry, Juan, you're not going to the Dodgers. It's not happening. There's just no way. Because what we have seen over the past 2 years so far, the Dodgers have found a way to make this happen. Now, if Juan Soto goes to the Dodgers, I mean, could you imagine that lineup? I mean, I'm already talking about, can you imagine this lineup with Blake Snell in it? Put Juan Soto into this, then you're talking about having an all-star team pitching in the National League West for 162 games. It's just absolutely insane. But I think it's fair to say that just because they signed Blake Snell, I don't think it changes the possibilities of Soto going to Los Angeles that much. Are you with me on that, or do you think it really closes the book?
Yeah, I don't think the book is completely closed. Like I said, I do think it's unlikely he goes there, but I don't think it's complete. I mean, you can never rule out the Dodgers, especially if like you said, they're one of the only teams willing to spend money. And I completely agree with you that teams definitely need to spend money. I don't think the book is completely closed on Juan Soto going to LA. If anything, this might increase the chances of Juan Soto going to LA because they're more likely to win a World Series, and that is something that he wants to do. But yeah, I still think that he's going to wind up on an East Coast team.
I will say this. We've been talking about it the entire offseason. When we in our free agent preview, I said the same thing. Juan Soto, if he does get a contract, he's not going to get deferrals. If Juan Soto is going to go to the Dodgers, he will have to have deferrals. So if that does come into play, then and he wants to be a Los Angeles Dodgers, he's going to have to take deferrals. Doesn't rule it out by any means. Randy Miller reported a couple days ago that there are five teams. Sources have confirmed that there are five teams with already contracts offered to Juan Soto. That is the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that means that they have offered a contract, even though they've just signed Blake Snell. So that shows right there that they're not out on Juan Soto. They have found a way to obviously make it make sense on their checkbook, right? Boston Red Sox also in play. Speaking of the Boston Red Sox, they were apparently in play for Blake Snell. So they will be in aggressive mode for some of the rest of the pitchers, which we can talk about just in a minute here. But they missed out on Kikuchi, which apparently they were in on, and they missed out on Blake Snell. So something to keep in mind with Boston there, they're being aggressively pushing towards pitching, and they're missing out. So are they going to miss out on Juan Soto? We'll find out there. Obviously, New York Mets, New York Yankees are involved. We know that. And then the Toronto Blue Jays. There was a plane ride, apparently, this time to Toronto, unlike Shohei Ohtani, and we are seeing them in the race. So five teams, Red Sox, Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, in Blue Jays. If you had to make a guess right now, before we move on, out of those five teams, out of just those five, Troy, sorry, I know you're a Phillies fan, but out of those five, where's Juan Soto landing?
Out of just those five, he's going to land on the Mets. Out of just those five, it's got to be the Mets. Because Steve Cohen said he's willing to outspend any offer Soto gets by $50 million. So if that's actually the case, then Juan Soto is going to be a Met out of those five teams.
We have seen that he is not afraid to spend money. A couple of years ago, he took a step back last year. Maybe it was for him to prepare for Juan Soto. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Okay, so what's next? That's really the biggest thing here is we see Blake Snell move. We don't know if we're going to have a break here. We are just one day away from Thanksgiving, right? That doesn't seem to matter for the front offices of baseball. They are ready to drop some hot news. The stove is hot, and it's not just for cooking turkey, Troy. It is to make sure that we're getting some free agency going, and it's fantastic. I love it. I'm not complaining in any way, shape, or form. Oh, yeah. Bring me all the baseball news. Give me three or four more big signings before we even get to the winter meeting so they can focus on cool trades. I am okay with that. But the biggest thing is, where do we go next? And I think we should focus on the pitching because we just lost one of the biggest pieces in the market. Blake Snell, obviously off the table. He's with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So we have guys like Max Fried. Corbin Burns is still there. And those are the two biggest ones I think we really need to talk about, Fried and Burns. There was talks that Burns was potentially going to the Dodgers. Orioles were still in the race there as well. And then when it comes to Max Fried, I've seen some reports that the Red Sox are going to be very aggressive in getting Max Fried. Now, the Red Sox have missed out on Kikuchi. They've missed out on Blake Snell. Do you think the Red Sox can land Max Fried? Do you think that's the answer for Boston? And do you think that they will be able to give him the best offer in the market now that you've seen a guy like Blake Snell, the other top lefty off the market?
With how small the left field and right field is in Boston, Max Fried would do well there because he is probably the preeminent ground ball pitcher in the sport today. I think he had a 59% ground ball rate in 2024, which is just absolutely insane. However, with them missing out on both Yusei Kikuchi and Blake Snell, you got to start looking into things. Maybe like we talked about yesterday with Andrew Bailey, maybe pitchers don't want to go pitch for Andrew Bailey as their pitching coach. Maybe it's Alex Cora. He is very polarizing. I've said it multiple times. My wife is a Houston Astros fan. I'm pretty familiar with the Astros, and he was the bench coach there for AJ Hinch, and he was a big part of their sign stealing scandal thing. And it's maybe guys don't want to play for him. And it's, so I don't think we're going to see the Red Sox sign a big name pitcher like a Max Fried or Corbin Burns, especially after missing out on Blake Snell, one of the pitchers in that top three on the market, and Yusei Kikuchi, who's a middle of the rotation arm. So I don't think the Red Sox are going to get any of them.
Here's a thought here, and let me know if I'm wrong, because it definitely could be. There's no doubt about that. And if you think I'm wrong as well, let me know in the comment description. And if it's, maybe it's too late. Is this an outdated take? And it very well may be. But John Henry traded Mookie Betts. John Henry let Xander Bogaerts walk in free agency. The fact that he is not willing to keep star players on his roster. We just talked about the Dodgers being a premier location for free agents. Is that the complete opposite for Boston right now?
No, you could be absolutely right with that. And the only counter that I could see to that argument is Rafael Devers is a star. I don't know if he's on the same level as Mookie Betts, probably on the same level as Xander Bogaerts, but he was much younger whenever they moved on from Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, who were both pushing 30 whenever they moved on. And I agree with you. They don't really keep stars. I mean, they traded Chris Sale and he went on to win a National League Cy Young Award. So it's they're not really known for keeping stars, which is crazy because, you know, John Henry will spend money, but it's just not going in the right places, it seems.
We talked about it yesterday. Let's bring it up again. According to FanGraphs, the projected rotation right now for the Boston Red Sox: Tanner Houck, Byron Bayo, Cutter Crawford, Richard Fitz, and Cooper Criswell as 4 and 5. They need pitching.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Even if it's pitching depth, they need pitching. But I said it yesterday and I'm going to stick to it. They do not have to go get Max Fried or Corbin Burns. It doesn't have to be one of those big guys to sign. Now, would that be a huge game changer? Yes, because let's not forget that they are in the American League East, one of the toughest divisions in baseball, even though they've had a down year towards the bottom half of the division for the last couple years. And the NL East and other interesting divisions like the NL West have kind of taken over as some of the toughest divisions in baseball. You can't ever rule out the AL East, period. The Toronto Blue Jays are going to figure it out. The Tampa Bay Rays, what they have accomplished over the last decade, I feel like you can never say that they're a team that you can say is going to be a 100-loss team ever again. I don't think you just can. There's just no way. And then obviously the Yankees, the Orioles have looked really good under Mike Elias. What does the Red Sox do? How does the Red Sox get back to the point to where we actually start caring again about the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry? Because right now, that is certainly an afterthought in most baseball fans' minds. Unless you are a Red Sox fan, unless you are a Yankees fan, who cares about that rivalry right now? And that's just a small part of this storyline. Because if you don't even care about one of the biggest rivalries in sports history, then what's going on with this organization moving forward? What do you think about this organization with their chances of winning a championship in the next 5-10 years? And in the short term, let's say in the next 3 years, if you're looking at how this roster is constructed right now, I don't even think you make the playoffs, let alone win the World Series. Adding a star pitcher like a Corbin Burns or Max Fried definitely moves that needle for sure. There's a couple other pieces that need to be fixed as well. So I think that if you're going to put all your eggs in one basket, I think the Kikuchi spot would have been great. Landing in Kikuchi would have been really perfect for Boston. They missed out on him, but that's where they should focus on that level of tier of starting pitching, so they can also focus on moving, getting some other pieces as well. I mean, they need a lot of help. And I know that there's possibilities to moves. We talked about a potential trade yesterday, which we're going to talk about another piece of that in just a moment. But the Boston Red Sox have to do something this offseason. And we've mentioned it a couple times with some other teams. They need to make big splashes. The Red Sox do not have to make a big splash in my mind, but they have to show that they are willing to compete with the rest of the division or they're going to quickly fall off. I thought that team was going to be really bad last year. They surprised me in a little bit. They surprised me a little bit, but it's just still not enough, Troy. They got to get a little bit going, and that starts with adding some pitching depth. Again, doesn't have to be one of those top two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really, when you look back at the last 20 years, the big thing that's missing in Boston right now is a big-time slugger. And they had David Ortiz for the majority of the 2000s, and he was a big part of their World Series championships. And they're missing that right now. And no, I'm not saying that this guy is on the same level as David Ortiz, but they need to look at like a Teoscar Hernandez or an Anthony Santander to put in left field, because while they're not on the same level as David Ortiz, they're maybe the next step below, especially Teoscar Hernandez. I'm really high on Teoscar Hernandez. I might be higher than most, but I think he would be a good fit in Boston. And maybe for their pitching, I thought of this while you were talking about their pitching. Maybe if they could go out and make a trade for American League MVP finalist Tyler Holton.
Value's never been higher for Tyler Holton, for sure. 16th place MVP finisher. I mean, how could you not want something like that? For the record, he is a great relief pitcher. I just have no idea how he got an MVP vote. That's awesome. That's great. So maybe sometimes, maybe some voters, you know, I've always been an advocate on you should never leave your ballot blank, but maybe some voters should. Maybe some voters should. All right, final segment of the day here. We talked about Nolan Arenado yesterday a little bit about a potential trade to the Boston Red Sox. Rafael Devers potentially moving to first base, all that good stuff. Well, there could be a potential trade to the Boston Red Sox as well, still. But that would also mean that Nolan Arenado could move to first base. According to sources, Nolan Arenado said he is willing to move to first base and change positions if traded. First, right off the bat, when I read this title, I thought it was a joke. I really did, because we're seeing all these position changes going back and forth. We see Wilson Contreras move to first base from the St. Louis Cardinals. We're seeing other players make those position changes. The Rafael Devers move makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. We've talked about his defense yesterday, how he's only had one really good season in 2019. Other than that, he's been terrible when you're looking at outs above average. But other than last season, Nolan Arenado has been one of the best defensive third basemen in the history of the game, not just in his time, in all of baseball's history. Why are we trying to take him off the hot corner? Why are we trying to do that? And I'm not just saying that because I'm wearing a Cardinals hat today. Like, that's just not the reason why I'm saying that, because I do think Nolan Arenado is not going to be a Cardinal when we start the season, right? Like, I think that's going to happen. I think that's best for the organization, and I think that's going to be best for his rest of his career as well. But why move Nolan Arenado to first base before we even get into some potential suitors and how this changes his market? Because, you know, obviously he has to get traded, and he does have a no trade clause, so that does come into play. Before we get into some potential trade destinations for Nolan Arenado, Troy, does this make sense?
When you think about the career longevity aspect of it, I think it makes a little sense. I mean, he's still one of the best defensive third basemen in the game. And like you said, in the history of the game, like, he's up there with Michael Jack Schmidt for best defensive third baseman in the history of the game. But then you look at guys like Bryce Harper, who, no, he didn't move from third base, but he moved from a corner outfield spot to first base. And he was a Gold Glove finalist and arguably could have won the Gold Glove at first base with what he was able to do in his first season as a full-time first baseman. And it's going to increase the longevity of his career, and it's going to keep him on the field that much longer. And that could be a reason why Arenado's willing to make that move to first base, is to increase the longevity of his career and keep him, give him a better chance to stay healthy for full seasons.
The way that I see this changing, if this is a thing, maybe it's not a potential like primary shift to first base. Maybe this is, yeah, I'm willing to play first base on some days when needed in the lineup or something like that. I still want to be the team's everyday third baseman, or however you look at it. Maybe the way that Jazz Chisholm handled the Yankees, maybe it's changed people's minds on how they view positions. Maybe that's why we're seeing so many position changes so far this offseason. I really don't know, but this is new. This is something that we didn't really see in any other offseason. But I think this changes a little bit of his destinations. I think you have to say the New York Yankees are a little bit more in play now because the first base position. Obviously, Jazz Chisholm played third last year, but I think they'd love to get him off third base. So if you could bring Nolan Arenado in and give him the third base spot and then have him open the playing first base on days that's needed, that's an interesting spot of him going to New York. And then I think Boston's still wide open. I think Boston's is still a really good fit for Nolan Arenado. I think you could still make an argument for the Philadelphia Phillies, Troy. I think because having him at third base, I think it's a really solid part because they're trying to get rid of Alec Boehm. I think there's a really spot. I don't think the first base spot comes into play at all because of Harper, obviously, but I do think that there's still a spot for him. And then a surprising one. How about the Detroit Tigers? How about the fact of the Detroit Tigers where they have tried to look to make some, you know, some solid spots at third base. They do have some young infielders right now, but maybe they might want to look for some veteran presence as they're trying to make that next step. They're surely out of the rebuild after what they did in the second half of that Cinderella run this last season, but maybe they're looking for a little bit more veteran help. There were some question marks behind Spencer Torkelson last year. Maybe you can have him play third with some occasional spots at first base. I think that could be a very interesting spot. If they don't land a guy like Alex Bregman, if AJ Hinch can't get his former guy, maybe a trade for Nolan Arenado could be interesting. Out of those teams, Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, Tigers, who do you think is a interesting suitor, interesting destination for Arenado, or am I missing someone?
No, you're spot on with those teams. Honestly, I never even thought about the Tigers, and that's honestly the most interesting of the four to me. And it might just be because it's new and I never thought about it, but that's a really good fit, especially like you said, Torkelson hasn't really worked out. He could be a change of scenery candidate, and Arenado can play third on some days and play first, because that was another thing that I never really thought about, that him moving to first base would not be permanent. I don't know why my mind was just like, oh, he's going to move to first base. He's done playing third. He'll never play third again. He won't even touch the third base bag. But the Tigers are good, and the Yankees, really, out of those two teams, because if he goes to Philly, he's only going to be playing third base. And I think that if he goes to Boston, I really think they need to move Devers to first base over Arenado just because of the defensive abilities of the two players. So honestly, with him being willing to move to first base, I think the Tigers and the Yankees out of those four teams are probably the most compelling arguments to bring him in.
We're only heating up, apparently. I thought the stove was hot. I thought the stove was just actually preheating a little bit, getting ready for after the holidays, you know. Going to let us have some time to just talk about what could have been with friends and family, but we have plenty to talk about over the dinner table with Blake Snell, with the potential of Nolan Arenado shifting. We have so much news still to go. Juan Soto, where's he going to land? Well, we know he signed a deal with Celsius, but that's not enough. We're going to see him sign somewhere else once the season is, you know, before the season is over, before it comes to spring training. We're obviously going to see him land in a new spot, or he's back to New York. We'll see. But there's plenty to talk about here at First Pitch. We will see you back here with another episode very soon. But first, before you do so, please hit like, please hit subscribe. If you're listening on audio, give us a 5-star review. We are looking to build up to 1,000 subscribers. We're trying to get there as quickly as possible. So thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Unlike the Dodgers, we will never have deferred episodes. We are going to give you coverage as soon as we possibly can. We are not a deferred podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We do not move things to the right. We give you things as soon as we can here at First Pitch. Troy, anything before we go?
Hey, it's hate week. Roll Tide.
Oh, my goodness. I shouldn't even threw it at you. All right, folks, that'll do it for here. I can't believe we're ended on that note, but we'll talk to you next time here on First Pitch.